This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You mentioned Andy Payton then at Burnley. Like, he was the striker I started watching at Barnsley when I was sort of 12, 13. Might have been younger. Eight, nine. On the wall.
Poster on the wall.
I was on the... No, I weren't the poster on the wall, but he wore the striker.
Well, he was like you, Parky. He did fuck all, but scored goals. Yes, that's why you liked him, was he? Yeah. Didn't run, but scored loads of goals, Parky. No wonder he was your hero, yeah. But he was a great signing for us. He was... Chris Waddle, the best thing Chris Waddle did really was to put me in at Christmas and to sign Andy Payton. And yeah, he was a bit different. He weren't your normal type of footballer, but for Burnley to go back, he was a local lad.
And he
was released as a kid, right. I think, so he always was a bit bitter, but
he had a good career, a bit different.
He just wasn't your typical footballer. He wouldn't go on your nights out with the boys. He was like last in, first out, didn't really socialise with anyone. But I got on well with Pates, and to me, that I've played with players that were great lads, and you go on the night out, Christmas do's, and they're great, but on the pitch, they don't really do anything. whereas Pates, he scored you loads of goals. So to me, I wasn't really bothered. If people want to go on the night out, great, Christmas do, great. If they don't, then... it didn't really matter to me. I knew that Pates, and for someone who was an assister like myself, the centre forwards make you. There's no point doing all the work, putting in great crosses or sliding people through on goal if they're missing. You don't get any recognition then yourself. Yeah. So to play with Pates, and at League One level as well, to find a goal scorer like that, we did really well. And so, yeah, great signing. And he actually, there was once... where we turned up for training and Pates weren't there. And we thought, what's happening here? And then there was a rumours got round that he'd smashed up a hairdresser's with a driver. Taking the golf club, smashed up the hairdresser's. Oh. So he's been arrested. So Stan had to go down there and bail him out.
I thought you meant he'd taken a chauffeur with him.
took his one wood.
The police were like, Stanzi will let him off.
Yeah, so Stan had to sort it out. So like, again, Burnley, everyone hears everything. And he turns up, they need a gaffer. And we said, gaffer, we've heard a rumour about Pates. He's like smashed up hairdressers with a driver. And he went, no. And so we thought it was a load of rubbish. And he went, no, it was a 5-iron. I myself thought it was a bit too much club. I'd have maybe it was uphill into the wind. But he was found. Yeah, the police found him hiding in his missus' wardrobe. I think. Hope you weren't trying to close on.
Too much club.
So she actually smashed the hairdressers up?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Didn't get paid for what reason, ask him and just, I don't know, just, but Stan, yeah, got him out. Yeah, well, we needed him. We had no one else who could score any goals. So Stan thought, I've got to sort this out. Yeah. Luckily, the police were Burnley fans, I think. So yeah, they thought, if we lock up Pates, yeah, we'll probably get relegated. We need him out scoring goals. Yeah, we'll let him off. Yeah.
Too much club.
Just say he lost his ball. Yeah, he's three off the tee, I think. Yeah. But yeah, the first week he was actually there, when we signed him, we were doing a warm up and it was in two groups. So I'm in one group, he's over the far side, and as we're walking around the pitch, I look over and he walked with a bit of a bounce.
Yeah,
Parky. Yeah, yeah, you know,
on the bob, and
so I've looked across and I said, look at Pace. So I started copying his walk, bouncing. So we all then join up and he said, were you taking the piss out of me? And I said, yeah. Oh, okay, you can believe it, yeah. This experienced player, yeah, Celtic, Barnsley, turns up at Burnley, and this boy who's played five games was taking the piss out of him. You couldn't believe it. But we got on well after that. I did set up about 80 goals for him, so yeah, thank you after that. But in all my career, one of the best finishers I played with. And like I said, to be at that level of football, League One, to have someone who could score that amount of goals was great and, you know, keep us up.
Who else did you get on with at Burnley? Who were you?
Everyone, really. I was that type of person. I got on well with the older boys and I got on well with Mitchell Thomas again. He was an older, experienced player. He's lived with me for a bit when he first moved up and didn't give me any rent. Yeah, pay any bills, Mitchell, yeah. But Mitchell, again, Mark Ford was another one I mentioned earlier on. He was at Leeds, Fordy, when he, again, I was good to a lot of players, and I let them live at the house, but what I didn't say is I did have a six-month driving ban, so I needed someone to take me to training. So come and live with me, boys. Yeah, you're right, I've got a spare room. Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, but you've got to drive me to training every day. Thanks, yeah.
And cook for us.
I actually got a speeding ban. I was driving back, horrible drive, Burnley back home, down at M6 and M40, M25, and we'd actually lost a game, but we got 2 days off. It was a night game, so I thought, I'm going back home, and this was under Chris Waddle. So off I set, and it was M6 Wigan. I get pulled over by the police. So 85 miles an hour, can you believe it? It was hardly anything on the road. It was like 11 o'clock at night. So get pulled over, right, okay, yeah. And then hour and a half later, I come out on the M40, pitch black, nothing on the road, and join the M40, here it comes again, flashing red and blue lights. Yeah, got done.
Got done.
And these West Midlands police, it was, I think, yeah, pulled me over, and I've got the Burnley tracksuit on. So I get out, and they went, oh, you're a footballer. And I went, yeah, how good's that? I've done the Australian accent. How good's that? Brummy accent. Yeah. Are you a footballer? And I went, yeah. And they said, who'd you play for? I said, Burnley. They went, oh, yeah. He said, that's Chris Waddle, isn't it? And I went, yeah. And he went, oh, you're not doing too well, are you? I went, nah, we're not. And he went, yeah, have you got any points on your licence? I went, well, funnily enough, I've just been stopped about an hour and a half ago by Wigan police. He went, oh, he said, you got more points in one night than you have in whole season. Yeah, cheers, mate. Yeah, so I ended up, yeah. I had 9 points as it is, I ended up down about 23. Yeah, but what killed me, I had to drive down to Solihull to get banned, and then they ban you straight away. So I couldn't get back. Yeah. Yeah, cheers for letting me know that. Yeah. Thanks, yeah. 6 month ban. My solicitor, he said, no, but what you do, because you're a footballer, you can say you've got to get a training, you've got to get to games, so you need your car. What you do, just pay £1,500 and you can, like, ride it off. So I said, oh, yeah, do that. And he said, but whatever you do, don't get stopped. I said, why? And they went, well, you got 12 points. What? I said, so I paid a £1,500 and then next week I could be out driving, I get banned again. So I didn't realise. So I said, no, 6 month ban, wipe my points off, because I'm doing that 4 hour drive every other week. There's probably a chance that I'm going to get stopped again on them speed cameras. Or yeah. So I had to take the 6 month ban, but it worked out well. It was just before Christmas. Now, I don't know whether you ever noticed this, Parky, but in football, once you get to Christmas, they always say season seems to fly by.
Yeah.
Don't you notice that? I don't know why it is. Did you think that yeah. that was the same?
Other than
the
yellow,
so
yeah.
for me, I thought, right, if I take it Christmas, by June, the season's done, and then the next month I'll be driving. So it did. It did work out. Well, I thought, luckily, like I said, I'd miss your 4D driving. I thought, okay, I got away with it. It's hard though, just to think, you know, sometimes when you got about a 5 minute walk to the shop, you come out. I never actually did it. I old man's up. I can honestly say I never. But now when you think, well, it's late at night. There's I lived on a new estate type place, and now you think, there's no one about. Coming up to the shop, it's at the top of the hill as well. It's a bit of a walk, a bit cold as well. Yeah. Shall I just risk it? No, I've got better set off and have a walk.
You get on with Robbie Blake? Because we've had a confirmation, I believe.
Yeah,
has he texted you? Is Blake coming on? Yeah, he still owes me about 300 quid from about 18 years ago, Blakey. Yeah, get that off him for us. But yeah, no, character Blakey, we got on well. Yeah, he came straight in, and he was a player that I'd seen at Bradford, and I thought he looked good. And so when we signed him, but never come across him, never played against him, and then when we signed, I thought, this is the player I remember. The standout game I remember him having was against Wolves. I think it might have been in the playoffs when Bradford won promotion, and he scored a really good goal. He had the chop, like myself. Yeah. It was like he had the chop and he hit it in a corner. So I always thought, I liked the look of him when I'd seen him. So when we signed him, I thought, what a great signing. But unfortunately, when he came in, we needed a boost, and he'd had the hernia problem. And I can tell you, I'd had that hernia. And I don't know whether you ever had a hernia, Parky. They kill you. And he come in, he had the bad groin hernia, so it wasn't the Blakey we needed. And then once he got it sorted, but then by that time, the ITV Digital came in, it killed Burnley, killed a lot of championship clubs, and then we weren't very good. And then Blakey played his best football, but it was when we weren't very good. If he'd have come in that season when we were top of the league at Christmas, and he was the Robbie we knew, I'm not saying we'd have gone up. We'd have definitely been in the playoffs. We missed out in the playoffs in the last game of the season by one goal, would you believe? The first year, I think they made it goal difference. It was always goal scored. We scored more than Norwich, but goal difference, they brought in that season. Missed out by one goal. But yeah, just in terms of who I played with, he's one of the best who I played with. Yeah.
Footballer-wise.
Footballer-wise, just great feet. And we did. People used to say, "Oh, like, you got this link up." No, I just give him the ball and he can hand it. There's no sort of difficulty, and he'd give me it back, and we play little give and goes and things. And like I said, similar to myself, although he was more of a central player, but just like I said, could give it to him, handle the ball, twist and turn. He had that chop. And again, like myself, people would probably say the reason it stopped him in the Premier League was the pace.
Yeah.
Really, maybe that. So, yeah, he'd have some stories to tell, because I was happy because I thought, finally, I got someone else. So we'd get in after games and I'm thinking, thank God, it's Blakey getting it. I'm all right now. I can sit there and relax. And Blakey, he'd be over the other side of the dressing room. I'll be looking and thinking, I've been there, mate. He's had his
hat.
Yes, you got them diver's boots on. Yeah, you're like a circus act. And I thought, I've heard it.
It was Stanley Gazza when he come in.
When Gazza come in.
Gazza got to Burnley.
Gazza came in. Gazza probably won't remember it. He did come to Burnley. The last time I actually saw Gazza, I went to the Medeski, and England played Germany Legends, the 1990 Legends. So I thought, great, take my boy, get the pictures with sort of the old stars, and Gazza, first person I walk in the dressing room, Gazza comes over, gives you the hug. So the Reading media all come over. Glenn, can you do an interview with Gazza? I love to talk. So Glenn, it must have been great playing with Gazza. And I said, yeah, it was. He's just an idol of mine growing up. When you, what was that, 13, 14, and he's the 1990 World Cup. To me, the best English player there's been in my lifetime. And so to get the opportunity to play with him, even though he wasn't the Gazza we all know and loved, just to have that experience of playing with him. And I said, it was great. And he was brilliant with me, little boy. He had the photo taken at Burnham, a little boy. He remembered him. Hey, give him a rub on the head. And so he said, Gazza, yeah, Glenn, he's finally made it to the Premier League. It's gone great for him at Reading. And he said, yeah, I'm proud of Blee. And he said, when we were at Barnsley, and even my boy's looking up at me, and I know, son, don't I? Yeah, I know. And my boy, it's Burnley, Dad. Yeah, but okay, yeah, we'll let him off. It is Gazza, we'll let him off. And he said, you're coming up for a drink. I think you've had enough, Gazza. It was a shame that he came in, and again, that was the season with Blakey. We needed that lift to come in, and it was sad to see. There was a game against Wolves where sellout, Wolves were going well, we were going well, top of the table clash at Turf, and after 15 minutes he should have been off. He was that bad. He kept losing it. People who couldn't lace his boots, just taking it off him every time. Kept putting Wolves on the attack. We're 3-0 down at half time. We come in at half time. I'm sub. I'm coming at half time. And he's already in the shower. Stan never even took him off. But he should have been off after 15. But I think Stan, how can I drag him off? 23 foul, like all them Wolves fans. You have to walk off that end as well. And so it was just, Stan, we all knew it on the bench, he's got to come off. He's got to get dragged here.
Are you pissed like?
I don't know, just gone. And he couldn't do it. Legs are gone and couldn't do it. And in the end, like I said, we've already come in. And I come on as sub. We ended up getting beat 3-2. Half hour to go, we had a man sent off as well. And then still scored to make it 3-2. It's like 3-1, we're battering them. They're on the ropes. Oh, man sent off. Oh, well, that's that. Oh, no, we're still battering them with a man less. 3-2, grandstand finish. Just lost 3-2, though. So Gazza's thinking, hang on a minute. I've come off at 3-0, and now we've battered Wolves. Half hour with 10 men as well. We battered them. So that was on the back, the East Stand. And you go down to Portsmouth on the bank holiday Monday game. So he's with Stan at the front of the bus, red wine. He's absolutely battered on the way down. We left straight after the game. And on the M6, we go past the Wolves coach, and Gazza said, that's the first Wolves player I've gone past all day. And we all burst out laughing. And it's like, we thought, hang on a minute. We're still on the M6. We ain't gone past them just yet, Gazza. Don't get carried away.
So when he came up the shower, was anything said?
Never said.
Basically
took himself off. And Stan, but the thing was, he had this Louis Vuitton wash bag. I think it was like the oldest wash bag you've ever seen. It was all ripped, the zip coming off. But all that was in it was tablets and miniatures. There was no air gel. No imperial leather. And he used to go in the toilet and the miniatures. And the last game of the season, we needed to beat Coventry to get in the playoffs. And he was sub. He's come on for the last 20 minutes. And as I've cut inside, I've come towards him. And he took the ball off me. And he goes, "Take bleaking." He took the ball. And now he stank of booze. I was like, oh, you can have it, Gazza. And then I thought, hey. But he hit these two free kicks. He put them right in the top corner. We got a free kick with about 10 minutes to go. He put it right in the top corner. Magnus Edmund, great save. And then I'm certain he had two. And then another one with about a minute to go. We needed one more goal to get in the playoffs. Curled it again. And I'm right behind it. I thought, he's in. He's hit it again. And Edmund again, great save he made. And so he nearly got us in the playoffs. But we all loved him, as you'd imagine.
Yeah. What was Parky he like in the changing room on that day to day?
Always say, gun. Well, the first day he come in, who wants a cup of tea? He was going around, who wants a cup of tea? What? This is Gazza. He's making everyone a cup of tea first day. We couldn't believe it. And he's, going around, do you want a cup of tea? Yeah. Oh, thanks, Gazza. Yeah, it's great. So we all go out for training. Isn't he a nice person? Like, to come in, we all think he's Gazza the king. We'd do anything for him. And yet, here he is, he's making everyone cups of teas. And then we know why. We all walk out of training. And then he said, hey, how's your cup of teas? And everyone was like, yeah, great, thanks, Gazzy. He went, yeah, I put a load of shit powder in it. People down by the river having a shit during training, weren't they? Yeah, no one knows going around putting a load of laxative in the teapot, weren't he?
It's worse there.
Yeah, luckily I never had any, but he used to come in, Jimmy Fivebellies, drive him in every day. So, but lovely man, Jimmy Fivebellies. There's been a few stories about Jimmy Fivebellies, you never quite know, but he was brilliant. He'd come in, he was great with the boys, and it was just, it was, again, the experience of playing with someone who you look up to, even though we knew he weren't.
Yeah,
he weren't the Gazza.
People blame him, don't they, for his demise?
That's what I mean.
But
I can't
remember who I spoke to, but he said no. He was
brilliant.
Cried.
Was yeah. We all loved him. All the boys loved him. Oh yeah, looked after him. And
I think he's I don't even know if this is a word, but I think he's unlookable after. If you know what I mean.
Hard to he's
unlookable after.
I know what you mean.
If Jimmy Fivebellies or fucking
You can't. He's his own man. He'll have his own way. He'll find out something. You know what I mean? Trouble or do
I've only just worked out what the word means.
Unlookable after. whatever word you need to make up for that. Uncontrollable.
Uncontrollable, I think, is the word.
Unlookable after.
So it could have been even worse if it weren't for him.
Yeah. But my boy still got the picture on his wall of him at Burnley dugout. Just, he was brilliant, he was, and it's just it's a shame.
Would Stan give him any shit?
No. I think Stan realised he sort of weren't the same. But he probably done it because we brought Wrighty in when we went up.
Yeah.
Who's Wrighty?
Towards the end. We signed Ian Wright.
Right.
Ian the old
Wright.
Satchmo,
oh,
yeah.
Fucking hell, yeah.
So we brought Satch in to get us up, and he helped. So the year we went up. So, yeah, you might not know, but Ian Wright's nickname Satchmo from the trumpeter. Is it Armstrong?
Louis Armstrong.
Yeah. And that was his nickname at Palace, Satchmo. So I knew Wrighty, again, being a kid at Palace, he used to bully him at the fuck out of me. whenever I hear Wrighty coming in, I was hiding somewhere because he was moaning about the kit. And even on work experience once, they stitched me up. Do you want that kit? I took the kit. I thought, I've done well. I've got, these socks are nice. They give me Wrighty's kit. You come in. I'm only on work experience. He went, you, who the fuck are you? You got my socks. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Wrighty. Yeah. I was only about 15. So I'd known Wrighty anyway at Palace. So when we signed him, again, he knew Stan. Got him in. He was good mates with Mitchell Thomas. So it was like, this could work perfect if Wrighty can come in and he'll get us up.
Yes.
And that was from League One. Now it's in the Championship. I think Stan thought same thing. It was a similar time of the year. Only about 10 games to go. Let's get Gazza in and he can help. But
all right, and saying you got your first taste of Premier League football on loan, though?
On loan at Bolton. Yeah. It was, all 48 minutes of it. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Big Sam got me in and... Yeah, hardly played. The first day I was there, I had to sign the forms, and they said, Glenn, sign the bonus sheet. So I turned up, okay, at training ground, signed the forms.
This is to Bolton
from Burnley. Yeah, so I signed the bonus
forms. So you had a favourite?
£3,500 a win.
Oh my
God. He's big on his bonuses. Now this is Premier League now. I think, you're in the big time now where you've got to sign the bonus sheet, £3,500 a win. I thought this is all right, although I'd done 2 months there and realised it's not worth the paper it's printed on when you don't win. So, it was just... It was a great club. And the first taste of Premier League, I thought, here we go, what a chance. Just down the road as well, half hour down the road,
how come
lovely
you went,
stadium. And
were you out of favour at Burnley?
What happened, I had a year left, and Burnley, because of the ITV Digital, they were struggling for money. And so it was like, try and get Glenn out. And Sam, I'd always played well against Bolton. Every time I played against the man of the match. So now they're in the Premier League. It was just a case of, look, take Glenn in on loan. See if he does well, then you can have him. Give us. They got two players. It was Gareth Farrelly and Delroy Facey, I think it was. So he said, we've got no squad. Burnley had about 12, 13 players at a stretch. We gain a couple of players. It gives Glenn the opportunity to finally play in the Premier League. And when I got there, you think, right, this is the big time. There wasn't a game for 2 weeks because international break. So I turned up, signed the forms. Tomorrow, I'll bring your passport. We're going to Cork for a testimonial. Oh, well, here we go. Night out in Cork, and then flew back. And then after, was it a couple of weeks, then we're in La Manga training camp for a week. I'm thinking, this is all right. But never played. I was just on the bench, and I came on the sub against Wolves for the first game, set up the equaliser. We're 1-0 down to Wolves, who had just come up, and they were bottom of the league, I think. Wolves, they'd lost every game. They'd lost four out of four. So you're thinking, we'll beat these at home. No, we were 1-0 down, struggling. I come on, 5 minutes to go, put the cross in for Kevin Davis. It was his first goal. Kevin Davis was just turned up as well. Mm. There'd been a few players that just come in who they were trying to hopefully do well. And now I thought, this is my chance now. I've come on, I've done well, I've set the goal up, got a 1-1. Now give me a go. And never, it was like, no, sub again. Came on against Man City, 5-2 down, I think, or 6-2. Got beat for the last 20 at the Etihad. Man City were a bad team for me. I think they haunted me. And why I didn't sign from now, I look back, I think, if you can't beat them, I should have joined them. Because I got beat at Burnley. I got beat 6-0 at Burnley at home. The one I mentioned. The next season, at the start of the season, who do we get in the Carling Cup? Man City away. So Stan, after the game, get beat 5-0, don't we? Stan, disappointing result. He says, no, I'm delighted with that. Last time we played these, we got beat 6. We're improving. Right? So, yeah, get beat Man City again. Go to Bolton. They even said, no. So I go to Bolton. Now I think I'm in the Premier League. I'm not going to get beat 5 or 6 by Man City now, because I'm at a Premier League club. Yeah. And Bolton, we got good players. We got international players. No, got beat 6-2. Right. So, signed for Reading, pre-season friendly, Man City at home. First game. Yeah. 4-0. So, I'm thinking, this Man City. So, when I go to Portsmouth, we go up to the Etihad again. They even put in my record, all my defeats. I thought, oh, they've even marked it out, the bastards. I thought, yeah. But I'm at Portsmouth now.
Yeah.
I got Crouch and Defoe and Crenshaw and Kanu and Diarra and Sol Campbell and Ryderson at the back. David James in goal. They ain't going to score 5 or 6. No, they did. So I even go to Portsmouth, and I think that was either 4 or 5. Oh, I thought, oh, fucking hell, yeah. Even at 34, I was ringing up Man City. Can you sign me, please?
I
know you're spending all this money and paying 30, 40 million pounds for Rubinos and people like that and Joe, but would you sign me, please, and put me out of my misery? But Bolton, in the end, I weren't playing 2 months. Yeah. Like I said, 48 minutes I played, and that was it. And it was the first time I experienced just not playing.
Yeah,
and I even though it was in the Premier League, 2 months of it, I thought, no, I'd rather be playing in the Championship, where you're one of the main players and you're just playing week in, week out, than just doing nothing. And you're coming in on the Monday, everyone's having the warm down and watching the video, you're out training. Wednesday off, but the 8 or 9, 10 of you, the stragglers, you're training. Yeah. It's just boring. But I do think I could have done well for Bolton. Yeah. I think if I was given a chance, I think I would have done
Who
well.
Who was playing ahead of you? Was it but the Greek fella?
Yeah, little Stelianos Giannakopoulos. I think that's right. Yeah. About 182 points on the Scrabble board.
But it was shit.
Never won a game. And I remember leaving, and I thought, yeah, I was like at Bolton. I went, well, we'll be playing them next season. They'll be down. Fucking they picked up after that. Yeah. Cup final, got to a League Cup final against Middlesbrough. Nearly qualified for Europe. I thought, what did I know? There I was. But at the time, it looked to me, and as I watched them after, they were a team. JJ Okocha, when I was there, JJ never played that well. It was just 6 out of 10, 5 out of 10, wasn't really doing anything. When I left, JJ ripped it up. And if he had the 8 or 9 out of 10, that was the difference.
Yeah.
If JJ played well, and what a player. He was just in training, just let him have it. Don't even try. You're being stupid if you think you're going to try tackling him. So just let him have it. And hope he crosses it and it goes into the keeper's hands or he goes out of play or whatever. You can't get the ball off him. But JJ, I left and then I thought, I knew it. They had Tottenham away. after I left, and I thought, yeah, they'll get beat there. JJ Manor match, yeah, it'll won the goal, I think it was 1-1-0. No, I think $3,500, yeah. If I'd have just stayed one more game, $3,500. And then the next game, I think, yeah, it was just, yeah. Kevin Nolan kept ringing me up. He was like, yeah, we're going well. I went, I fucking know you are, yeah. I've lost about $30,000, yeah. So, and then got to the cup final, and then they did well after that. They had 3 or 4 seasons.
So could you
really with Stan? No, in the end, Stan called me back. There was a game live on Sky, the Saturday morning one, and it was a Birmingham at home again. Birmingham promoted team. Birmingham beats 1-0. I came on the last 6 minutes. I'm waiting. Come on, bring me on. I got 6 minutes. I touched the ball once. I ran down the line. Ball went over the top. The left back come across, just kicked it out for throwing. I picked up the throwing, took it quickly, threw it to someone. That's the only touch I had in the last 6 minutes. And Stan just said, I sent you there to give you a chance, see if you're good enough. If you're not going to play, then you might as well come back here. And just so it was just that was it. We had Wolves in the cup that midweek as well. So they were thinking, look, we're playing at Molyneux, come back and play for us. So that was it. I'd done the last season at Burnley, out of contract, and went to Reading.
Could you have stayed at Burnley?
I could have, but it was just no point. With the ITV had just taken the money. They were always struggling, and it was just, I'd done everything I could there. We were a team that were always up there, and then now all of a sudden you're battling relegation, hardly any squad. The better players were leaving, contracts were running out. We sold Gareth Taylor, who's our top scorer.
Yeah.
They sold him to Forest to get the money, and it was just, what's the point? I'd done all I could. I needed a fresh challenge, and I needed a team who I thought time was running out. I needed to get back to the Premier League to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
So I had to make the right choice, and luckily I made the right choice in Reading again. Another good club, lovely ground, training facilities.
Steve Coppell.
So Steve Coppell, who was my favourite player growing up. I grew up Man United fan, obviously being from Wimbledon. It was either United or Liverpool. Stupid me, I chose Man United and spent 18 years with 2 FA Cups. That was about it, seeing Liverpool win the league every year. So, although made up for it over the last sort of 20 odd years, I suppose. So Steve Coppell, again, yeah, on a free at the end of the season, we'll take you. They'd just finished 7th as well. So you knew they were always that team that were there or thereabouts. I went in, again, first season, 7th. I'm thinking, I love that 7th. I think I had about 5 7ths. Kept finishing 7th, missing out in the playoffs. And this time, we needed 1 point from the last 3 games. I thought, we're bound to get in now. Only need 1 draw. We lost all 3. Missed out. West Ham pipped us and got in. And the thing was, we were in the playoffs the whole season. So came back thinking, unlucky again. Hopefully be up there again. Lost the first game to Plymouth. A disastrous result. And now people, Steve Coppell, being questioned even after 1 game because we've blown it before. Yeah. A lot of people, he's not the right manager for Reading.
And then from there,
33 unbeaten games later, 20 points clear. Maybe he was. 106 points record. I was actually in CGI's right after that Plymouth game, and I could hear a couple of supporters talking about the game, and I'm thinking, come on, I don't want to have a row or anything in CGI's with my family. But I could hear him talking, and then I turned, and then they said, not good today, Glenn, was it? And, nah, I don't think Steve Coppell's the man for Reading, is he? And I was like, he probably isn't. He'd taken me off with 15 minutes to go as well. I hammered him after. I weren't happy. I said, you took me off. He took the 2 wingers off, me and Bobby Convey, with 15 to go at 1-1, and they scored a 90th minute and won 2-1. And like we said, Kevin Dillon after the game, that the assistant, yeah, I'm with you. He shouldn't have taken your Bobby off. He went 3 up front, took the 2 wingers off and just put 3 centre forwards on. No, he won't be doing that again, Dill. And Dill was probably thinking he might be getting the sack anyway, let alone do it again. And then, yeah, I've never come across those TGI fans ever since. But, what did they know?
You've got two TGI fans here.
Reading's greatest manager. Yeah. Yeah, you'd have liked the TGIs. Oh. Like double burger.
What's your order? Is that double burger?
I don't know. I did like the burgers. The fajitas in there. As I said earlier on, I like my food. I've probably gone through the old menu there. But yeah, used to like those Holiday Isle cocktails. I used to batter them. Yeah, most expensive cocktails ever. I
can't say I've ever had a cocktail in TGI's like.
But that was the thing I remember. Yeah, Plymouth has a disastrous result, and then who would have thought it? 33 unbeaten and broke the record.
When you're on that run, I mean, did you win most of them? You must have won most of them.
Do you know what? The unbeaten run, no one ever spoke about the Premier League. No one ever spoke about promotion. All we spoke about was the unbeaten run. Once we got it to... Because the season before, we got it to 8. And we thought, that's good. Oh, we're at 8. And we went to Highfield Road Country. They beat us. Oh, 8's good. 8 unbeaten. We thought we were doing well. So then now, the next season, 10, 11, 12, 14. And then it was... And because Sheffield United were doing well, Sheffield United had a great start. So you should have been maybe 12, 15 clear in November.
Yeah.
And we weren't. We were 5. And so it was, well, okay. But what it was the run that made everything for us. It just kept us going. And then by the time we did lose, the promotion was pretty much done.
Yeah.
So it was, we didn't have to worry about promotion. Yeah. We came so proud of that unbeaten run. Don't let anyone beat us, because now we're going to have to start all over again. Yeah. So the longer we go, if someone does it, we're back to naught again. And so that's just that feeling of before the game.
That's what I'm going to ask.
It's an unbelievable feeling, Parky.
It's one I've never had.
No Liverpool, what they're doing.
Yeah.
Man United have done it. Arsenal, Chelsea, Mourinho, where you hardly lose a game. We done that. It was the only time that we experienced in my career what it must be like when you're playing for the big boys, and you stood it, and in the tunnel, players are getting, come on, let's get into them, and we never said nothing.
You're the team to beat.
And the other team, we're just looking at them. You're already beat, mate.
Yeah.
You're already beat, and it was just that confidence. You knew we were going to score lots of goals. We had Kitson, Doyle, and Leiter, who scored a lot. Even in the midfield, Siddy, Harps, and Gunnar.
You could score too bad for yourself midfield.
Five, I think I've got wins.
14 assists.
Well, they say 14. I'd like to think it's about 6 or 7 short. I was never happy with a 14 assist. But we had 2 centre-backs, Ivor and Sonks, who could go up for set plays as well and score. So it was just... And when you got me taking it one side, Nicky Shaw in the other, the balls were being swung in from set plays. So we could just score lots of goals. So... Not many teams did take the lead against us, but even if a team just nicked a goal, it didn't matter, because we were like, well, we're not a team that doesn't score. There was only 2 games the whole season, I think it was. We didn't score. So in the end, it was just that feeling, that confidence. And you couldn't believe it. Let's face it, we're Reading. Weren't as if, like, there's been teams come down from that Premier League, the biggest up, Newcastle. They were paying people 80 grand a week, weren't they? In the Championship, was it? Nobby Nolan and Barton Carroll, Coligini. Yeah. And yet they couldn't even get 106 points. Yet we were Reading, 3 transfers. I was probably the most experienced Championship player there.
Right. Yeah.
The rest of them, League One, and had a couple of... They had a promotion with Reading, couple of seasons. Kitson came from Cambridge. Leroy Leiter was £1 million. That was all. It was the most we spent. But that was from a League One club, Bristol City. They only had 1 season, I think, Leroy. So, again, that's okay. It's £1 million, but we don't know whether Leroy could hit in the Championship. And we signed Doyle and Longy from Cork in the summer.
For the Premier League.
For a bag of balls and some cones, I think that was for. and we're thinking, and all we got is now Kit's left, and now we're going to sign this Doyle and Long. What are they going to do? Come on. And then, although Longy took him a bit longer, where Doyley comes straight in, hit the ground running, and was an unbelievable find, one of the signings of the Championship ever, the history of the Championship, for Doyley to come in like that and score 20 goals straight out the bat. And then we couldn't believe it. Like I said, it was just every game, you just... What's happening? It was hard to believe. And
so did Coppell get the recognition for finding Long and Doyle?
I'd say he had lots of good. Well, it's arguably one of the best put together teams on the cheap. It'll never get done again. Stephen Hunt come in, Brentford League One didn't even want him. He was on his way up to sign for Bradford, I think, in League Two, 2-year deal. But Coppell knew him from Palace and thought, oh, he's a great lad. He works hard. So he's got a great attitude. I remember him from Palace. I'll give you a year on less money, but you're at Reading in the Championship. Come in and sit on the bench the whole season, had a promotion. Shorey was from Leighton Orient, 25 grand. Marcus, free transfer, City and Arps. It was just, everyone had this, well, I'd say everyone, you'd probably have seven or eight had the season of their lives, and the other five or six had really good seasons, and it all came together, and it was just unbelievable. We couldn't believe it was happening. And then you go up and you think, oh, we'll be straight back down because we never signed anyone again. Reading cheap and cheerful again. But how are we going to do this in the Premier League? And missed out on a point for Europe.
Yeah. Was it eighth?
Again. Seventh or eighth it was. Yeah, last game of the season. We drew 3-3 at Blackburn. If we'd have won, been in Europe.
So that mentality just carried through then?
Carried on, yeah. Just hungry team. No one had really played. I'd had 48 minutes in the Premier League. Most experienced player. My 48 minutes, one assist though. I had an assist every 48 minutes in the Premier League, so I had that pedigree. But no one else. It was all new to us. And
what was he like as a manager, couple, compared to Tennant?
Just totally different. Just
Tennant or Turner.
Never in your face. Never had confrontation. They said about Koppel, sees everything, says nothing. And that summed him up. Wasn't the rant, never have the teapots going here, there and everywhere. Never in your face. It was just calm, keep your feet on the floor. And it was just like next game, on to the next game. And it worked. And putting the team together, the best thing about the Cops, I would have said, was putting the team together. That jigsaw puzzle, that's the most important thing. All the pieces fitting in the right. And like I said, it would never be done again. All those signings, those cheap side free transfers, and you put them all together and get record points and then go in the Premier League and do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, you've half got to be lucky with that as well, I think.
Yeah, it is. He did do it at Palace, though. Parky, his Palace team he had when he got into the Premier League and they finished third in the Premier League, got to FA Cup final. It was very similar. And that's what it was. He'd done it. We even talked about me and Wally Downs, who was at that Palace team as well at the time. Wally was now at Reading with Cops. And Wally said it. He said exactly the same as me. I noticed it. And Wally said, yeah, of course it is. And that's how it all come together.
What was he like, Wally Downs?
Wally was a character.
I was wondering where.
Yeah, Stan. He's already heard about some of the stories, yeah. Missed call by Stan and a voicemail by Pates. Yeah.
He's on Instagram, Stan.
But it was just, what Wally was a character, and that's how it gelled probably with Koppel. Koppel didn't really say anything. And
so they just worked really well just, together.
Yeah, and Wally was the character. Yeah, just don't play cards with Wally. That's the only thing, because you can't win. Because you'll either lose or you'll win and he won't pay you. So, yeah. He'd get on well with Blakey. But it was a season of just all our lives, just on and off the pitch, how it all come together.
Did you have a good social life together? A lot of you,
just, yeah, there was. We were close at when the barbecues and things, we'd go out, the wives all together as well. And just a great time in everyone's lives. A lovely club. Win it together because none of us had played. We had never had any big names, no big name Charlies or anything like that. So no one had really experienced that before. And we were in the Premier League and living the dream, really. And it was just a shame that we couldn't do it. But it all, the next season, second season syndrome, whatever. But we went down as well on the last day. That's probably one of the worst moments of my career, really, because I'd not played. I'd been out all season with the Achilles. Yeah. So I'd missed it and sat in the stand the whole season, and you end up going down, and you ain't right. But again, one goal, with 15 minutes to go, you're up, and Fulham won at Portsmouth.
Can you put your finger on anything with that second season syndrome kind of thing?
I never played.
Players collected.
Listen, I said I was out for a year with my Achilles.
No, we had like,
Steve Sidwell left to Chelsea. he was on a free, so the Bosman can't fault him. He went to Chelsea. He had to take that that chance. Yeah. And that City was the engine room, the driving force in midfield.
Going a free to Newcastle. So.
He had Newcastle, Charlton, Man City were all after him, and Chelsea came in quite late. Really, we all thought he was probably going to go Newcastle, Man City. Chelsea came out late, and what helped? It was a time where Chelsea, I think, were cutting back. They were looking to maybe get a few English players or free transfers. They didn't want to pay the big money.
Yeah.
English player as well. Okay, we'll give him a chance. He's done well at Reading. He's an English player.
I mean, if you're 40 grand a week to him.
Yeah, on a free as well.
As opposed to 80 grand for somebody
20 million, paying 20 million, 30 million for another. Let's just give him a chance. If it doesn't work out, then no problem.
Yeah.
And it didn't. City went Villa. So, okay, you go to Chelsea, it doesn't work out. Then you go and play Villa and Fulham, so you did well elsewhere. So took the money, probably had a nice pay up anyway from Chelsea. So it worked out well. But again, I never played the whole year. City gone and signed a couple of foreign players to try and replace City. Never worked.
So when Reading went down and the call came from Portsmouth, who are bringing shed loads of players in.
Well, they just had a year out as well.
Yeah. It was hard because I didn't want to leave Reading. I loved it at Reading and the success we had. But I'd felt very bitter that I'd missed out on that Premier League as well and I'd been relegated. I thought, well, that wasn't me.
I still felt
I was a Premier League player and I showed that in the season
It was them fucking assholes who got relegated.
And signing new deals, I never got the new deal because I was injured. So after the first year and then people were doubling their money, signing big contracts.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, why should I have to now drop my contract? I never even signed one in the first place once we had that great season.
Yeah.
So I looked at it and thought, why should I play in the Championship? I played in the Championship for years and I always felt, I know the Championship. I've been there, seen that and done that. I played well in the Premier League in my first season. Why should I have to drop back? And I was at that age, I was 32. I can't now, if I was 25, 26, then you could say, okay, I'll go back to one season, go back to Championship, play one season at Reading. If we go up, okay. Yeah. Great. If we don't, there was a couple who did that. I think Huntie, Doyley did that.
Yeah.
Went for the one season, never went back up. So then they got their moves. So it was just a great opportunity to stay in the Premier League and play for Harry. How can you turn it down when Harry rings you up? And he did say to me, I went down to sign and it was I can't remember the chief exec's name. Peter Story.
The memories are incredible.
And Harry weren't there. He said, sorry, Glenn, Harry couldn't make it. He, I don't know where he was. I can't remember where he was. It might have been in Henley. It might have been Henley Regatta. And he said, he can't make it. Henley Regatta, is that? So get it signed. But he sorted out the contract. Get it signed. Okay, yeah, thanks. And he said, and then as I sort of looking around, having my medical, he said, Glenn, Harry's on the phone for you. Oh, okay, so he says, I've finally got you. He says, I've tried to sign you three times over the years and I've never had the money, but I've finally got you. And I said, well, hopefully it's not too late, Harry. But unfortunately it was. Because he said, no, we'll have a great time. He said, I'm signing Crouchy. He goes, we've got the far front. He said, I'm signing Crouchy for 10 million. You'll be putting balls in for him on that back post. He'll be heading in. We'll have a great time. So I was like, okay, Harry. And then I've been out a year. I was just never the same. I couldn't get back to playing how I wanted. And it was so frustrating because in all my career, I'd never played for a team where I had really big signings or big names.
Yeah.
I'd always been the unfashionable team at Burnley where you're overachieving. And then you go to Reading. And you're overachieving and then all of a sudden, here I am, I've got Glenn Johnson at right back behind me. I've got Crouch and Defoe up front. Every team I played for, I set goals up. Franny Payton, Ian Moore, Blakey and Gareth Taylor. Then I got to Reading, Doyle Kitson and Leroy. So now, but this is Crouch and Defoe and Carnu and now this is a bit different.
Yeah.
So if I could have been anywhere near or played like I could.
Yeah.
Then I would have been on fire, but I just couldn't. I was just breaking down, hamstring, groin. It was one thing after another, and I just couldn't get a run of games. And you're just thinking, I've got all this talent around me. and I can't play the way I can. So it was a frustrating thing. And then Harry left anyway after about 3 months. So, yeah, that's when you knew maybe things aren't quite right here. Because actually, the first game, I made my debut, we played Tottenham. And Tottenham was struggling. Bottom of the league, hadn't won a game. And we beat them 2-1. And Harry, they're gone. They're like, yeah, I wouldn't swap any of you lot in here for any of them lot in there. And a month later, he was at Tottenham. And then a couple of months later, we played him at White Hart Lane. He was probably saying, I wouldn't swap any of you lot in here for any of them lot in there. And he signed Defoe off us. So Defoe's probably thinking, I've heard that one a couple of months ago. But it was the game where Darren Bent missed the header. Remember, and he said, my missus could have scored that. It was that game.
No, I remember.
Yeah, like late on. And well, the thing I remember from the game as well, the stand-up thing, I was on the bench, and all game he was battering someone right in front of him on that left-hand side. And he was having a nightmare. And no, you're actually feeling sorry for him, thinking he's having a nightmare. Harry couldn't stand him. Wanted him out. Wanted a new left back in. And then he got dragged off with about half an hour to go. And we were like, yeah, it's like horrible. Dragged off.
That's kid dumb.
That's him. Like, and he actually brought David Bentley on, who again was having a bit of a nightmare. Wasn't doing well. He come on, actually changed the game. And then Defoe equalised, and then we were hanging on, and Bentley put a great ball in. Darren Bent missed. And that player is at Real Madrid now. That Gareth Bale, he did all right, didn't he? That's the one thing that stands out from that game. He dragged that Gareth Bale off, and he couldn't stand, and he went on to do all right for himself.
Yeah. I knew when you were saying it.
Yeah, just... It was just, yeah. To think I felt sorry for him that day. Yeah, Gareth Bale. Yeah. I wonder if he was coming off thinking, yeah, that Glenn Little, I feel sorry for him. He's on the bench at Portsmouth. Yeah, he did well at Reading, but he was out for a year with that Achilles. And now he's sat on the bench.
But your first taste of European football?
No, it wasn't my first taste of European football because I played for a massive club in Ireland called Glentoran at the start of my career.
Shit research.
Yeah, so, when I first signed, they were called Toran. But after a couple of games, they named it Glentoran. But yeah, I forgot to mention the start. We're all starting from here at Glentoran. The best thing for me at the Glentoran was you could end up playing in Europe. If you won the league or the Irish Cup, you got into Europe.
Yeah.
So, played in the Irish Cup final and scored the winning goal. Yeah, it's actually on YouTube. It's a great goal. I've not watched it very often, though. So, can't really remember it, so I might not be able to run you through it. But if you go on YouTube, the Irish Cup final goal. So, yeah. And then that got us into Europe. And the next season we get drawn against Sparta Prague. So actually scored.
Oh!
In the home tie, we lost 2-1. It was 1-1. They scored 92nd minute. It was a killer. Thinking, here we go, Sparta Prague. Can you remember Euro 96? Surely you remember Euro 96. If you remember, the Czechs got to the final and lost to Germany in the final.
Can't remember.
Do you remember
that? Remember
Poborski?
Carol 96, but Poborski. Yeah.
Schulke.
But they had five Czech internationals, Sparta Prague. So we're Glentoran thinking, they just sold Pavel Nedved to Lazio.
Yeah.
So we think, oh, that's Andy, he's gone. But they've still got five left from that squad who just year 96. So we're thinking, this is going to be 7 or 8-0. We're Glentoran. But we actually won all. I scored the equaliser in the second half, and this is something. Yeah, get a result of 1-1. They scored 92nd minute. And I never played in the second leg. I got injured, unfortunately. So I missed the second leg out in Prague, and that one was 8-0. I wasn't gutted that I missed the game, but I heard about the night after. The boy said it was unbelievable. It seems like stag do in Prague after I get beat 8-0. But I missed out on the night in Prague. So that was my first taste. Well, my first and only experience of European football. Back then it was the Cup Winners' Cup.
Yes.
It was. So there was a couple of years ago, there was the quiz question, weren't there? Who has played in the Premier League, like Championship, League One, League Two, Conference, both Irish leagues, Europa League and Cup Winners' Cup, and he's still playing. And this was only a couple of years ago, and it was me.
Devolver.
I thought there were a chance it was.
It was me.
I'm surprised you never heard it. But it was me who actually made it up. But
Quizmaster.
But the one was as well with someone who I grew up playing with, Steve Finnan. Was another one who could say he was at Welling. He started at Welling in the conference,
Steve, and
he
played right back at Liverpool.
Right back at Liverpool, and he's one has played at a World Cup and won a Champions League. And the Steve Finnan, I made up mine though. Quite good, yeah. People were thinking I was telling like kids, like no, the youngsters for teams I was at and played in the Cup Winners' Cup. They were like, "What's that?" Like, well, yeah, what's that? Yeah. Just for the Cup Winners of every country. Back in the free. Win at UEFA Cup, Winners' Cup, yeah. And Champions League. So that was it. And then never thinking you're going to get that experience ever again. And then you sign for Portsmouth. We're in the Europa League. And then we were out training. And as we come out, some of the injuries were coming out. Said the draw's been done. We've got AC Milan and in a group. We had Braga, AC Milan, Wolfsburg, and Herenveen. So good group, really. When you look at some of those Europa Leagues now. Some of the countries you play, some of the teams you play, and I'm thinking that's Mickey Mouse. Yeah, our group. You look at all them teams. Wolfsburg, big team back then. Dzeko up front, playing for him. That's where he made his name. So we had some really good games. And then the AC Milan, been out 6 weeks. So I hadn't really played for 6 weeks. Been out with a hamstring. Been on the bench for a couple. Hadn't got on. And then we walked out. And Tony Adams never did anything at Portsmouth, got the sack, but the one thing he did do, I was pleased, he gave me a game against AC Milan. I thank him for that, Tony. And it's just walking onto the training pitch after the warm-up, he used to give the bib out to the team, and then he'd give it to me. And I know what I'm playing, I couldn't believe it. We did have a few injuries, so that was it. I hadn't played for ages, and then played against what best game, arguably the best game I played in.
In the San Siro?
No, it was just that they did it, that it weren't home or away. It was just we had two at home, and it was just the draw, the luck. So that was a shame. Yeah, it would have been nice if it had been the away game, but we had AC Milan at Fratton, although the atmosphere at Fratton Park, only 20,000, as good as anything I've played in.
A few people have mentioned
non-stop.
It.
It was unbelievable.
It was
just non-stop. Antonini marked me. They had Shevchenko, Kaká and Inzaghi up front.
Not bad,
and
then.
The midfield was Gattuso, Emerson and Flamini. Zambrotta right back, and who's the Arsenal? Yeah, Ponderos, I used to call him, for the Arsenal centre back that they took out. Yeah. How he got a move to AC Milan, I'll never know. Yeah, Maldini didn't travel. They said that. Yeah, I remember him saying that. Now Maldini hasn't travelled. But their bench, if you see their bench, Ronaldinho on the bench. Pirlo, who's a bad bench. It really was, yeah.
Did you get a shirt swap?
They didn't even bring Pirlo on.
Yeah. Oh,
come to think of it, were they trying to beat us? Yeah, were they actually trying to beat us? Ronaldinho come on the sub, and we were 2-0 up. We were 2-0 up and played really well. And with 5 minutes to go, Ronaldinho put the top corner, 30-yard free kick, and Inzaghi injury time. So it was a horrible finish because it was like some night, and like I said, best game I played in. Atmosphere, unbelievable down at Fratton. The only atmosphere I've really played in where the game would stop and yet it was still non-stop noise. Mm. So someone would take a throw-in. It was a goal kick, but it was non-stop. Yeah. The game was going on.
So that geezer was
really
the
good
bell,
game as well. John. Well, the first time we see him was... we went to Nigeria pre-season tour. Could you believe that? Fucking Nigeria, Harry. How much they paid Harry to take us to Nigeria? Fucking hell.
I've been to some bad pre-season trips.
50,000 in the Olympic Stadium. We played Manchester United, right? And I don't know what happened, but we were supposed to be in Nigeria. It was say Tuesday till Saturday. A week before. No, we're going Wednesday to Saturday. A couple of days later, we're going Thursday to Saturday. Oh, this is handy. It was like, we just kept chopped. No, we're going in Friday and playing Saturday. We're getting out of there Saturday night. Right, okay. And 50,000 Nigerians, it was like carnival it was. All the drums going, all the robes, like green and yellow robes. Just great atmosphere. and you had four Portsmouth fans in the top tier, John Portsmouth, Westwood Football Club, with the bell and his sidekicks. They made it all the way to Nigeria for the pre-season friendly. But yeah, what a pre-season that was. And we got out of there and we went to Cape Town and then to Johannesburg on safari. It was unbelievable, it was. Yeah, best holiday I've ever had in the pre-season. Yeah. Round the pool in Cape Town, having a great time. At Tabletop Mountain and nights out. Yeah, are you sure this? Are you all right to have nights out here? And it's Harry's holiday camp. Of course you are. And then where are we going next? Yeah, we're up to Johannesburg. Oh, what training up there? Where are we training? No, we're going to safari. Stayed at this lodge and there we are, going on safari. 7 o'clock in the morning, driving around looking for elephants and tigers and lions and giraffes poking their heads up out the bushes. So yeah, it was the strangest one I've ever had. Yeah, put it that way.
Fucking Nigeria.
Did you rate Redknapp as a manager?
Yeah, Harry was. It was just if you're a footballer, look, play without freedom, then it great. You can see why he's had those players, those flair players. Love playing for Harry. There's no, you've got to do this. The tactics, the track back, it's just you go out and play, just enjoy your football. And it worked with Harry. He said it was the Harry's holiday camp. People coming out, half 10 training, people coming out, 20 to 11, quarter to 11, ambling out. But by the time the sports scientist said, out we go, come on, let's get it going, the jog, it was 5 to 11, 10 to 11, 5 to 11. People coming in 20 past 10, like rushing into the dressing rooms, getting changed and still getting their omelette at 25 past 10. And for me, it was an eye-opener because Reading was so professional. We had the players. I was always last out. I always used to get strappings. I could never play football. I needed strappings on both ankles. If I put my boots on and what am I doing? I just wasn't right. So I used to get out at Reading, I'd say 20 past 10, I was the last out. It was like the circle had been going for 15, 20 minutes. So I used to out you go, and yet here you are at Portsmouth. You go out at 20 past 10, there's no one out. So it was just lads. No fines, it was just so easy, ozy, people coming in. Injuries as well, and I spent a lot of time in the treatment room at Portsmouth. The physio, yeah, do you want a coffee, Glenn? People reading the paper, turning their beds around so they could look out the window and watch it. Yeah. Right, Sol Campbell coming in, big Sol man. It would be like, what are you doing, Sol? Yeah, I'm going to go down David Lloyd. All right, Sol. See you later. Off Sol went and, I didn't have the clout to do that one. Yeah. Guys, I'm just going to go down, forget about my hamstring. I'm going David Lloyd. All right, guys. Yeah, well, I can't do that, but if they're handing me the coffee, yeah, I'll have a coffee. Read the paper. Okay, this isn't new. It was just something, though, but that I'd never experienced. But for the big name players, that worked. Because there was going to be late, so we're still travelling down from London. A lot of players.
Yeah.
Coming 2 hours down the M25, M3, having drivers, having taxi drivers bring up the training. So you hit a bit of traffic. There's nothing you can do. But it was just...
And did...
But look how well they did. Until the money, and then Harry left, and now you're thinking, yeah, right, something's not quite right. It doesn't add up. And then we're selling Defoe to Tottenham. Then Diarra went to Real Madrid for 20 minutes, like the fire cell. Right.
So do you think Harry realised that he was lucky to have the players at Portsmouth, so he let them get away with it a little bit?
Yeah. And it worked.
Yeah.
Because they won in the Europa League, finished sixth or seventh, then they won the FA Cup. So that's probably, that's Harry for you, isn't it? He gets those big name players and he'll love it. Because they can maybe, it's not the
Manchester
United, restricted and look, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And Harry lets them go, as long as you get the results.
Don't matter.
How was Kanu?
And he got the results. Kanu was just a player, again, you'd seen him over the years, hadn't you? And now you're playing with Kanu, and if you passed it half a yard either side, he couldn't get it. Everything had to be so precise to his feet. But some of the things he did in training...
You've probably got a yard.
Yeah, you've got some wings. He's 14. He has got Kanus on his feet. Yeah. But... The thing about it was you knew he couldn't run anymore, so it had to be so precise to his feet. But some of the things he done in training, Harry would be laughing. I think that's where he got it. He said, you've got to have him here. Some of the things he did in training, seeing, you could imagine in his prime, like in the 70s, he would have been some player. But the physio said to me, because in October, I'm an October birthday, and I was 32. They said Carnu was the same age as me, but he was a January. I said, fuck off. He's not, what? He's 3 months like, younger than me. Come on, I'm not having it. But I can't remember who told me, but someone said that they think he's about 42. They went, no, he's about 42. But what used to get a laugh, where the changing rooms were, upstairs, used to go upstairs, the offices, the treatment room, the office, the gaffer's office, and we used to have the little gym with all the corbels and the mirrors and things, dumbbells. And you used to have the video room where we'd all watch the opposition, the pro zone, and go through the team. So Friday, up you go, right, we've got game tomorrow, we're watching them, and we'd all sit down in the chair. And there was a disabled lift. And we'd all be sat there, and then you'd hear ting, and the disabled lift would open, and he'd hobble out, and everyone would laugh. Oh, it's just, he got a laugh every time he done it. Did. It was just brilliant, and just couldn't walk up the stairs. And it was just, like I said, great, great player. And it was just, for me to play with these boys, it was something I'd never really experienced before. Yeah. All these big names, these internationals that you'd watched for Arsenal and Tottenham. And
all now good lads,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah, a great bunch, yeah. Great bunch. And suited to holiday camp mentality. And that's when I first realised that these big hitters, because I'd been at Palace, I was in the Premier League, and Palace had the right and the bright. Jeff Thomas and played for England, Andy Gray, these people. But the money and the fame wasn't back then when it was the Premier League. So even though I had been at Palace, I'd always had to earn everything I'd got. I went to Ireland to play, then your league won Burnley. I'm doing the graft, really, to earn, to get back to the Premier League, where there I saw it. It's just, now, it doesn't make them different lads, but they're just different, because all they've known is the Premier League fame and glory and the money. So it is different, and that's when but to experience that, it was just, like I said earlier on, the frustration of what I could have done if I'd have been right playing there with those players, and having Glenn Johnson bombing, because Jono got the move at the end. He went to Liverpool for about 18 million at the end. He was on fire. So I'm thinking, look, Jono behind you, down that right hand side, linking up and just setting up goals for the Crouchy and Defoe. You could have had a great season, but just was never right after it. Mm-hmm. After that Achilles comeback. And that, it sort of finished my career. Even though I've never had a problem with it, it did finish my career, really. Even though I played on for another sort of 10 years, even all the way down. Yeah, even all the way down. The problem was I had to drop a lot of levels to keep playing.
So when you finished at Portsmouth then, and obviously you just worked your way down gradually.
It was quickly as well. Yeah, went to Sheffield. I went for a season. It's strange how people will say, "Are you a journeyman?"
Yeah,
and yet I was always pretty low. I think I've seen that with Burnley and Reading. I probably was that 10, 11 years with just two clubs.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden it was just you get older. Sheffield just went up there, but it, great club, great support, probably the best support I'd played for in terms of the numbers, 28,000 there at Bramall Lane. Unfortunately, the manager was fucking useless, so that didn't work out.
Who's that?
You had a non-league goalkeeper trying to tell you how to play football, which didn't go well. Kevin Blackwell. Useless. So, out of all the managers, he was the worst. put it this way. I've played in non-league, Ireland, started my career in Ireland. I played in non-league towards the end of my career. and I had better managers telling you how to play there than you got someone who's, you're at a big club trying to win promotion to the Premier League and you got this guy here. So, yeah, that didn't work out well. So then in the end, because of the position I played as well, when you get old, I felt you can't play on the wing anymore.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to play inside in the midfield. The game had changed with the 4-3-3, the three midfielders. So I just said, I can't get up and down the wing anymore. Although at Sheffield, you had Carl Walker behind, which weren't bad. For the odd games I did play, you had Carl Walker, who was the Ferrari, as we know. He can shoot. So that helped a bit. But yeah, it was nice to then just drop down and say, right, I want to play the way I've always wanted, because I did grow up as a central midfield player.
Yeah.
And then it was only in Glentoran and I went on the right and then made myself
never
a winger. But I was always that frustrated central midfield player because that's how I grew up. And so it was nice to, even though I dropped down, I played for Aldershot with my friend, the manager, Kevin Dillon, who was at Reading with me. And he just said, no, you can play that number 10 role or the midfield, just do what you want. So, yeah, decided to go to play for him and just try and then enjoy my football and play the way I wanted.
Yeah.
And Dill got the sack. So okay. So there you go. And then Dean Oldsworth come in and give me all the chat and talk to all the bollocks and then said, yeah, I'll work with you and we can do this, we can do that. And then a couple of days later said, yeah, I think we'll give you a pay up. Right, yeah, so you don't want to work with me, do you? Yeah. So all that horses for courses in certain games. Yeah,
there's been worse managers.
I know.
There's been worse situations.
But let's face it, Dean Holdsworth, yeah, didn't last long. So, yeah, he probably got that wrong. He probably made a mistake there. Yeah, getting rid of me. But yeah, so then all the shot done the 1 year and then got a phone call from someone who I'd heard a lot about. And I'd heard stories, but I'd never come across. I'd never played against him or his teams or anything like that. But Gareth Taylor, my mate from Burnley, was at Wrexham. And he rang me and said, look, Glenn, we need to go up. We're in a conference. Big club, Wrexham. Need to go up. Dean Saunders, give you a ring. Look, if you're not playing, just come and help us try and get us up. So I said, okay, tell him to give me a ring. So no, so then you get the phone call, don't you? And I don't know whether you know Dean Saunders, but I thought I could talk. So you can imagine me and him having a phone call. Yeah. I was just glad it was on his bill because it went on for about 3.5 hours. And he was telling me what a good player he was. I was telling him what a good player I was. And then we got on brilliantly, strange enough. Yeah, we got on brilliantly. And he said, come up to Wrexham, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We'll win promotion and we'll have a great time. And so, okay, Dino, I'll come up, I'll give it a go. There was only a couple of months left of the season. They were in the playoff position, so I thought they could just go in and 10 games.
Take the glory.
Go up and help Wrexham get back into the league. So, yeah, went in, first day training, I go into his office and he said to me, are you any fucking good? That's the first thing he said, yeah. And I said, hang on a minute, have you seen me play? And then, so just straight away, got on great and went to sign, but they had the transfer embargo because they hadn't paid their bills. So, okay, Dino, right, thanks for getting me up here, but then they weren't allowed to sign anyone. So I thought that was it, back you go. And then wasn't sure whether I was going to play anymore. I just thought, shall I give up? And then in the summer, he said, no, look, we're going for it. He said, we're going to sign this player, that player. He said, we'll win the league. He said, if you come up and give me one season, we'll win the league. Okay, Dino. Right. So, again, he convinced me one last season, let's try and win promotion. And so went up there and had a great start as well. And although when I first went again, the pre-season, never thinking the club could fold. I don't know whether you remember, Paul. Were you in the league at the time? They had to get the money. Supporters had to pay the money and pay $200,000, I think it was, to try and keep the club going. And there was the owner was having problems with the supporters. So there I am. I'm doing the pre-season, but I'm thinking, is there even going to be a club? But luckily, the supporters saved the club, took it over. We had a great start, and then Dino left. So he, in fairness to him, he got the Doncaster job in the Championship, so you can't really blame him. But then Andy Morrell took over, experienced player, and just said, no, he wanted me to stay on as well. So we just gave it a go, had a great season, a great time, and unfortunately got 96 points, probably the second best season of my career. We were a really good side, and we should have gone up. Just there was one problem, Fleetwood, with Jamie Vardy scored about 30-odd goals, and Fleetwood done us. And they'd also, about November time, December time, I think, they nicked one of our best players, Lee Fowler, who Fowler, you know, Parky Fowler.
Very well.
Now, playing with Fowler, now there's a player who who could have had a great career, but unfortunately he had the demons and ended up with Dino trying to... Dino did say to me, come up, you've got to look after this boy. He said, if you can keep Fowler right for 9 months, he said, we'll win the league. Unfortunately, I could only do it for 4 months. Although, he did end up winning the league, but he went to Fleetwood. So, I tried, but Parky with no fouls.
Yeah, very
trying
well.
Trying to get fouls to do anything. Dino said, because he said, Glenn, he just thinks he's head and shoulders above these boys. But with you, he can't tell you that because you've been there, seen it and done it. So he said he listened to you, and he, I suppose he did a bit, but with fouls. If you leave him alone for 5 minutes, he's dangerous, Parky, and that's it. But great talent.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable. I mean, he played for Coventry in the Prem, I think.
As a youngster.
At 17, 18.
Yeah.
But he's there's two players who I've beaten in pre-season runs. Steve McNulty, Big Macker at York, and Fowles was the other one. So you can imagine what he was fucking like pre-season, can't you? He was towing out of his fucking
ass. I'm surprised Mal Purchase didn't try and get hold of him.
Mal did. He used to take him. He tried to get him on. He said he's going on this turkey broccoli diet. But the problem with that is you don't pour a load of gravy over it.
So Mal was...
But Mal was... Mal was working with him. Mal is a tough man. You work with Mal. Exactly. And he, with Fowles, again, got him playing, but then went to Fleetwood.
He was one of them players, right? If you said to him, if you eat a kebab every night of the week for a month, you'll lose weight. He would eat a kebab every night of the month.
He did listen, but it only lasts a month because then he'd be on something else. It's hard to keep his focus. And like I said, I tried and we missed fouls. But look, fair play. He went to Fleetwood and they did end up going up and picked us. But with that confidence,
it
wasn't just the 96 points, Parky. We had a good team. We had a really good team. And if we had gone up, it was... that sort of situation where if we'd have gone up, we would have done well in League
Two
as well.
Because
Fleetwood have in League One now, they've kicked on and doing well in League One. And the size of the club we had at Wrexham, if that team had gone up, we would have been more than good enough in League Two. Well, seven in the playoffs as well.
I signed for Fleetwood the year after they'd just gone up. When Vardy went Leicester, they got me in as his replacement.
Yeah. Like for like, Parky, wasn't it? Yeah. That pace, yeah.
Talking of gravy, do you still like your Tony Ebos?
The Yorkshire puddings for me. Yeah, free Yorkshire puddings.
Why'd you
on
call
the roast beef? Yeah, because Tony Yeboa said when he was at Leeds that was his favourite, when he had the Yorkshire puddings. So that's why you say the Tony Yeboas. That was the best thing about Leeds, Yorkshire puddings.
But he's not fucking far wrong, though. They are incredible.
They are Bessies.
Someone asked who's the best player you've nutmegged.
So, well, going back to the AC Milan game, the famous quote coming out from the game was the me ripping Kaká to pieces, weren't it? And the thing with Kaká, what people don't realise, even though he's twice World Footballer of the Year, he's not very bright. Because he actually thought he could get the ball off me. Not just once or twice, three times he tried, and I kept twisting one way back the other. And then in the end, I kept trying to stand my feet, and I finally got the free kick. And I turned round, I couldn't believe it was him. I was actually thinking it was Flamini, like a little rat trying to, in the centre of midfield, trying to get the ball. So I went up to give him a bit of stick, and it was there, Kaka with a smiling face, shaking me hand. I thought, oh, okay, Kaka. Yeah, fair enough, I'll let you off, yeah. But I don't think you realise who I am, yeah. Don't, but don't worry, plenty have tried to do that, get the ball off me. But, yeah, maybe next time. Maybe I'll see you again. Yeah, maybe we'll come across each other again. At a World Cup or something. And, but, yeah, that was a great line, and... Yeah, I haven't really shown that to anyone, that line. Yeah, in the paper. It was the Daily Mail, yeah. The best bit about the game was Glenn Little, yeah, journeyman they put in again, that old one, yeah, the journeyman. Yeah, Kaka.
Oh, well, cheers, mate.
Yeah, thank you, mate.
Top man.
Yeah.
Thanks, boys.
There's been a few, but that's another one that's up there with my cheeks, bones are
early. Yeah, thanks, boys.
A rib tickler.
Yeah. We haven't done the five nights out. Five people on it.
Do you want to get him in quick?
Five players you'd take on a night out with you.
Who you've played with?
I don't know about five. Straight away, you're thinking number one, Graham Stack.
We're getting Stacky
just,
on.
Yeah, Stacky just, again, more famous for a thing off the pitch than he was on it, Stacky. But, yeah, great night out with Stacky. Just the tricks you get up to as well. If you get him on, he'll tell the stories that you'll see with Stacky. Even jumping in the pool in Port Banus. In the marina, when we're all sat in the bar, I've gone out, I'm sat on the wall on the phone, and all of a sudden he's come running out, jumped over the wall, and I'm thinking to myself, no, that's the marina, the water. And then you hear the big splash. There's a load of fish all trying to get him. He's in a bit of trouble. Luckily, someone from a boat has got him up, and then he just comes back round and he sits in the bar again. So that was a great story.
Did he iron his back?
That was the iron of his back. His mate, he had to train in the cellophane type wrapped round, yeah, iron his back, see how long he could have it. That was the story, yeah. So
we've got to get him on, haven't we?
So yeah, get Stacky on that. He was a classic, but yeah, it's hard to. It's such a long time ago, really. But it's just what he's won. Who's definitely for a night out, you'll have a good time with Stacky.
We'll keep it at one then.
Five stacks.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have a five stacks, but mate, fantastic, yeah. Mate.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.